This is the PoetryFoundation.org podcast, July 26, 2006. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, the volatile art and politics of June Jordan. June Jordan would have been 70 years old this summer. She died just 4 years ago. It's probably way too soon to assess her legacy. That's a process that usually takes decades anyway. But for the people who knew and loved her, June Jordan remains a powerful presence in their lives and work. Producer Wesley Weisberg spoke with some of June Jordan's friends and colleagues.
June Jordan is hard to categorize, but let's try. An African-American, bisexual, political activist, writer, poet, and teacher. But if you try to look at her through that lens, you will not see all of her.
The amazing thing about June was that she was a hard-edged political poet who had no barriers between her politics, her humor, and her humanity.
The poet Bob Holman met Jordan in the 60s.
She had one of the truly great inflected voices. The words are made in her mouth. There was this insinuating sweetness that was in her dark and sexy voice that surrounded this political megabomb.
Even tonight, and I need to take a walk and clear my head about this poem about why I can't go out without changing my clothes, my shoes, my body posture, my gender identity, my age, my status as a woman alone in the evening, alone on the streets, alone not being the point being that I can't do what I want to do with my own body because I am the wrong sex, the wrong age, the wrong skin. And suppose it was not here in the city, but down on the beach or far into the woods, and I wanted to go there by myself thinking about God or thinking about children or thinking about the world, all of it disclosed by the stars and the silence. I could not go and I could not think and I could not stay there alone as I need to be alone because I can't do what I want to do with my own body. And who in the hell set things up like this?
June Jordan was born in Harlem in 1936 to Jamaican immigrant parents. An only child, her father wanted a son and raised her to be one. In her autobiography, she writes how, in the middle of the night, he would come into her room and beat her with his belt without explanation. But he took great pride in her obvious intellect and got her a first-class education. Jordan went to Barnard College, married, had a son, divorced, and went on to become a professor of literature. She taught at various universities and eventually at UC Berkeley. Jordan produced an enormous body of work, 28 published books, that includes political essays, children's books, and some 430 published poems. She collaborated with composers Leonard Bernstein, John Adams, and worked with theater director Peter Sellers, and wrote lyrics for the a cappella group Sweet Honey and the Rock.
What do you think is the soul of a knowledge? What do you think that makes her feel safe?
Throughout her life, she was politically active, committed to using her poetry to speak about what she deemed unspeakable acts.
What I loved about June was that she was so in the world, so conscious and aware of what was going on politically, and she had the ability to bring that into her work, to challenge the reader. So she's saying, shame on you if you don't pay attention to this stuff.
The poet Cornelius Eady knew Jordan for many years.
There's a target that June seems to always have, a focus that she was always working towards a goal. And it was so intense that if you encountered her, you wanted to be marching with her. Because it just felt that this woman knows that this is the right thing to do. And you don't get that kind of personality traits in one package like that very often.
I am very familiar with the problems of the CIA and the problems of South Africa and the problems of Exxon Corporation and the problems of white America in general and the problems of the teachers and the preachers and the FBI and the social workers and my particular mom and dad. I am very familiar with the problems because the problems turn out to be me. I am the history of rape. I am the history of the... And the very next bodacious black man called me queen because my life ain't shit, because in any case he ain't been here to share it with me. Dish for dish and do for do and dream for dream. I'm gonna scream him out my house, because what I wanted was to braid my hair, bathe and bedeck myself so fully, because what I wanted was your love, not pity, because what I wanted was your love, your love.
In the 1960s, Jordan was one of the first writers to validate African-American vernacular. She went on to take up the causes of oppressed people all over the world. As a consequence, she could seem very angry.
To be a black woman in the United States who have grown up in the 1930s, in and of itself, produced plenty of reasons for righteous anger.
Composer and keyboard artist Adrian Torf collaborated with Jordan for 19 years. According to Torf, publishers and bookstores ghettoized Jordan's work.
To be a black woman writing as prolifically and as politically as June wrote, in the face of a publishing industry that only wanted to hear certain things from black women, in and of itself was reason for righteous anger. It was actually an extremely healthy reaction in the face of attempts to diminish or deny who June was.
She'd been writing about the rights of the Palestinians for many years and had paid a price for it.
Laura Flanders got to know Jordan when she appeared on her radio show.
For example, in the late 70s, she was somebody who would, with some regularity, write for mainstream papers. She'd appear on the op-ed pages. But in 82, when she wrote Apologies to All the People in Lebanon in 1982, and that poem, she always felt, put her on some kind of a blacklist.
In 1982, Israel occupied southern Lebanon. Jordan dedicates the poem to the Palestinian refugees living there. It included the lines, "They blew up your homes and demolished the grocery stores and blocked the Red Cross and took away doctors to jail, and they cluster bombed girls and boys whose bodies swelled purple and black into twice the original size and tore the buttocks from a 4-month-old baby. And then they said this was brilliant military accomplishment." After the poem came out, her radical views became a lightning rod, affecting her public image. Once again, Cornelius Eady.
I clearly remember when the poem came out, people actually dropped her. I remember some friends of mine simply saying, you know, I'm never going to read anything from June Jordan again.
There are no chosen people here. They're just human beings and sovereign states to which one standard must apply. And if it doesn't apply, and if it breaks down so that everlastingly the Palestinians and the Arab peoples, all right, are not seen as having just normal, regular human rights, that perpetrates a racist disgrace that I think is the moral litmus test of my life.
But it wasn't all politics.
Uh-oh.
Everyone who knew her spoke of her laughter.
I didn't do nothing.
Once again, Laura Flanders.
She wanted you to live in both realities at once, the reality of how messed up everything was and also how beautiful everything was. And I think that her poetry is an expression of that, because she says so many harsh and difficult things in such a beautiful and inspiring way.
The thing about fire is not unlike all tragedy that leads you to the house and takes your hat, your coat, your shoes, and then begins a simmering destruction of the floor, the walls, the ceilings, and the door, become a crematorium, a furnace, buried...
We become so thin-skinned that when you have someone who's writing something, you're saying, look, this is wrong. People misinterpret that as being yelled at, but she actually was very deeply grounded in poetics.
For what's hot, a bone chip, charred, but irreducible among the burning ruins.
As a professor at UC Berkeley, she created Poetry for the People, a course designed to break down the barriers between poet and audience. Students taught each other in small groups and were required to teach in the community, in prisons and high schools. But while Jordan encouraged them to learn and write about politics, there was an emphasis on craft. Cornelius Eady used to visit her classes.
Every time I was there, the thing that struck me was that how much June was talking about being socially conscious, but still obligated as a poet to write it well, to write it with craft, with some sense of intelligence, and shaping it. Anger just can't be anger. It has to be shaped. It has to be put in some sort of a context. It has to convince. It doesn't yell. It has to show.
She was giving an education in how poetry can be in the world.
She was a genius teacher who had a method. And I think sometimes when people say political poet, they imagine that, you know, somebody in a rage scribbles something down and then stands up on the stage and screams it to the audience. Not true.
To those who knew her intimately, she was more than a teacher.
She was like the corner man, particularly at the stage in life where I met her. She was wanting me to see a future for myself that maybe she could see better than I could.
Samia Bashir was a student at Poetry for the People.
When I became the poet laureate at University of California, she was out making sure it was publicized and running around. And she was my teacher. It was that kind of cheerleading that she did with all of us.
There's that idea of recognition that June had, that she could mirror. She was a help, but she was also a mirror. And she'd be able to let people start to see themselves through her. And not a lot of poets can do that. And so when you lose something like that in the world becomes slightly less of a friendly place.
When June passed away, probably the most frequent question posed to me by her students and her colleagues and her friends was, who will speak for us now?
June Jordan died of breast cancer in June of 2002. It would be interesting to know what she'd have to say about today's political climate. Then again,
I have a pretty good idea.
This poem is not consent. I do not consent to my mother, to my father, to the teachers, to the FBI, to South Africa, to Bedford Stuy, to Park Avenue, to American Airlines, to the hard-on idlers on the corners, to the sneaky creeps in cars. I am not wrong. Wrong is not my name. My name is my own, my own, my own. And I can't tell you who the hell set things up like this, but I can tell you that from now on, my daily and nightly and simple self-determination may very well cost you your life.
June Jordan reading from one of her best-known works, Poem About My Rights. That audio profile of June Jordan was produced by Wesley Weisberg. If you want to let us know what you thought of this program, we want to hear from you. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The music used in this podcast comes from the Claudia Quintet. For the PoetryFoundation.org podcast, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.